Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Okay, good. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 12. This is a prophetic word that Isaiah, and I had given this word to someone years and years ago, and the Lord reminded me of it about a week ago, about the bruised reed not being broken. And this really captured my heart related to just the kindness of Jesus to meet us in our place of weakness and our brokenness. And so this is a prophetic word that moves into kind of a declaration that Matthew is making about who Jesus really is. And then he backs it up with a story of how Jesus met somebody, and he met them in their place of weakness and brokenness. But then it also moves into the story where he is being confronted by the religious leaders of his day. And so we're going to move through this story. There's quite a few verses here that I'm going to read, but we're not going to unpack it verse by verse. We're just going to take the big chunks of content and move through this as an encouragement for all of us, okay? So Matthew 12, 18. Look at my servant whom I have chosen, speaking of Jesus. He is my beloved who pleases me. So this is the Father speaking to Isaiah, prophesying about Jesus. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out the flickering candle or the smoldering wick. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see, and the crowd was amazed and asked, could this be Jesus, the son of David, the Messiah? And when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, then what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. Verse 28, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray. Jesus, we have been orienting our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers towards you all morning. And it's not enough that we would speak about you or aspire to know about you. We want to encounter you. We want to know you, like, experientially. We want our faith to be rooted and established in the ways that you are, like the way that you are, and the ways that you move. And so help us now connect with this story and connect with the reality of what you are doing and who you are still today in a very real way, in a way that brings hope, in a way that brings victory and justice, in a way that helps us just establish new confidences in you. So Lord, we all just take a deep breath and settle into your goodness. Because every single one of us can relate to being a bruised reed, perhaps a smoldering wick. And in your mercy, you have not discarded any person here. And so, Lord, thank you for meeting with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do we find hope in our lives when we're impacted by evil? That's the big question. I mean, many of us have walked with the Lord for decades. I was talking to a couple yesterday. Chris and I were at a coffee shop, and I was just sharing with them, you know, like, Jesus has been my best friend since I was a little boy. And to have a relationship with Jesus for decades and yet find yourself buffeted by evil, by conflict, you have to ask yourself the question, like, okay, where's the hope in that? Like, where can I find hope? And this is hopefully going to bring some encouragement to you, because I want to talk about the reclamation. I guess you could say the restoration, but I intentionally use the word reclamation, rooted in that idea of reclaiming. So I want to talk about the reclamation of all things, the restoration of all things. And this is a huge topic, and I'm not going to keep you here all day. We will move through this as the Lord leads. I was literally like, this has been on my heart for about 2 months to share. And I would say that the Lord has pushed pause on this until now. I honestly, if I were to be honest with you, I've probably pushed pause on this too. This is not necessarily the kind of topic that you want to, you know, run headlong into when you're talking about spiritual conflict and spiritual warfare without knowing that you've got the green light from Jesus to just really be moving with anointing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't want to be foolish. Because evil is real. Satan and his associates, fallen angels, we'll call them demons, are real. And their primary purpose, like a lion seeking whom they may devour, is actually, their main purpose is to devour. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And some of you, myself included, there are seasons in our life when we feel like we're getting robbed. And we feel like things are just not working out. Like, where's the victory in life? Like, Jesus, I'm either not understanding something or you're not speaking the truth. Like, what is it about this, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? What is it about this abundant life that you've come to give us? Like, I want to connect with that experientially. In the face of confrontation and conflict with evil, because evil exists on the planet. And we're not immune to it. I went fishing this week. First time I used my new Tenkara rod. If you are not familiar with that, it's a fly fishing system in Japan, and it's very simple. My rod weighs 2.8 ounces. I love it because I have a backpack with it, right? And I don't feel the weight of all that stuff that I have to carry around. And so I went out there, and I was catching these cutthroat trout, and it was amazing to just be out there with my friend Steve and just be beautiful. Well, the first time I had ever caught a cutthroat trout was actually at another lake several years ago called Lamphere Lake. And there's this outlet stream. And I walked over to the outlet stream because we had taken some chicken chunks and we had put them in a Ziploc bag and I was keeping them cool for dinner in the river. And I went over to the river and I noticed this darting fish, and it stuck its head underneath the bank of the stream, the outlet stream, and it was sitting there with its tail out in the middle of the stream. Not a very wide stream, probably from me to you, Duncan. And so I went back to camp, and I got my trekking pole, and I'm like, I'm going to spear me a fish. I mean, I had the evil eye on that thing. And but then I looked at it, I was like, I don't know if I can get it. Like, so I put the trekking pole down, and I actually stepped into the water, and its head was still under the bank. And I reached underneath its belly, and I threw it out of the water onto the bank over here, the shore over here. I was like, what? I just did that? That's amazing. Who does that? And I realized he wasn't the only one, or she wasn't the only one in there. And as long as they had their head stuck under the bank, I had a chance. Yeah. It's like a kid. It's like, you can't see me. You know? And so there were three couples. We were all together. I got three, and we cooked them up over the fire. Anyway, I guess the point is, if we live our lives like our head is stuck under the bank when it comes to this kind of stuff that we're talking about, kind of easy pickings. Right? You like how I did that? That story went right. You see, in the garden, Adam was given dominion, but he released it. And who took it?
Satan.
Right, it was Satan who took it and became a ruler of the dark age that existed from the time of Adam until Jesus. Can you imagine what life was like before Jesus? I don't want to imagine what life was like. I mean, we think it's bad now. What we have now on the planet are millions of believers who have been empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to walk in authority that has dominion, because Jesus reclaimed that dominion and he gave it to his disciples, you and I. Can you imagine what life would be like if you did not have that type of authority and you did not have the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, guess what? Many of us, with our heads under the bank, we live as though we don't have that authority. We live as though it's pre-Christ. We're not stepping into who we really are. And we're getting buffeted. Oh, maybe buffeted's too soft a word. Devoured. So ever since then, you know, Satan's had dominion on the earth, and the effects of brokenness has rippled through the lives of people and their families ever since. I mean, it literally only took one generation for injustice to manifest itself in the murder of one brother against another. And so the story of God is the story of the restoration of all things. And the brokenness and the evil that you and I encounter in this life is subject to the intentions of God to reclaim proper order. This is what we, you know, what we refer to as setting things right. You can find the word righteousness coming from that. This is what God's righteousness does. It sets things right. It reclaims the way that things have intended to be, and he brings righteousness. And his people walk in that way of righteousness. We walk in that because it's the right way. There's a way that things work in the kingdom of God. And if we learn those ways, as we read Scripture, as we encourage each other in the Word, then we find the way of Jesus and we walk in that way. And that sets things right. So he establishes his righteousness on the earth. So again, Matthew 12, verse 18, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. Can I just pause there and say that the power of Jesus does not come as the result of violence? He will not crush the weakest reed or put out the flickering candle. His power is seen in mercy. And finally, in the end, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. So in the story here in Matthew 12, Jesus delivers a man from the effects of being demonized. He can't see, he can't speak. That doesn't mean that everybody who's blind or everybody that's mute is being demonized. But let me just say this. Demons don't care. And they will afflict you and inflict you any possible way they can. And while they may not always be causal, you know what I mean by that? They may not be the initial cause for something that you're experiencing. They can be and often are contributive. Because they take full advantage of any, like Jesus is the opposite. He sees a bruised reed, he's going to tend it. He sees a smoldering wick, he's going to tend it. Satan and his associates sees a bruised reed, he's going to inflict it. So we see this man and he's immediately... Jesus heals him, and immediately, at least in the timeline of the story, Jesus is confronted by evil. Jesus brings healing and deliverance and restoration to us, a man, not only to his physical body, but to his soul. You can't imagine what that life was like afterward. I mean, can you just put yourself there? I mean, the contrast between how he woke up in the morning and how he went to bed that night, I mean, drastically good. And Jesus is immediately confronted by evil, masquerading itself as religion. Alright, so those of you who have a religious bent, your feathers are going to get ruffled. It's okay. Because listen, even the nice form of religion, the nice religion, it's got evil in it. I'm just going to say it. I mean, Jesus came, and when he came, he confronted evil wherever he saw it, and one of the places he saw it was in the establishment of religion in his day. Right? In fact, the accusations just started, right? I mean, one of the biggest accusations, I mean, we know that Satan is referred to as the accuser, right? He's not only the accuser of the brethren, which is you and I, he's not only the accuser of the brothers and sisters, but he's also the great accuser of God. I mean, so you have to remember this, that it seems like one of the biggest accusations is that Jesus is a co-conspirator with Satan. That's the big accusation. Jesus is a co-conspirator with Satan. So, you know, I do a lot of work with folks and in the realm of like prayer counseling. And man, it's just a really beautiful space where we get to invite Jesus to come in and meet people in some of their broken places. It's like the deep wounds that people experience, the false beliefs that people find themselves coming into agreement with, and how that develops such a pattern of emotional upheaval and dysfunctional behavior. I mean, the cycles are very real. And so instead of just looking at the tip of the iceberg above the waterline and saying, change your behavior, I like to go deeper into, okay, what are some of the root causes? And Jesus can only be the one that takes you there. I mean, again, he tends the smoldering wick and the bruised reed, and that's the way he tends us, is he comes into those places of our story that we wish never happened. We hope we never have to tell. And he meets us in those places, and he brings healing to us. So the big challenge there in this work with people in their brokenness is the question, how can I bring my deep wound to Jesus when he is ultimately responsible for the deep wound? That's a lot of what I hear, because the accuser has placed Jesus as a co-conspirator with evil. Many wrestle with the question, if Jesus is as powerful as we say he is, why did he allow this to happen? I don't have easy answers for that. What I do have is an invitation to meet with Jesus in that place of brokenness and meet him for who he really is and not for who the accuser says he is. Right? Sometimes we forget that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that Jesus has actually come to give life, life to the fullest. And the religious still try to connect Jesus to evil by saying that he uses evil to teach us lessons. I don't buy that, to be honest with you. I think any form of evil is violent, right? And Jesus does not right the wrongs or teach his followers the lessons with violence. Remember, the power of Jesus is found in mercy. He doesn't break that bruised reed or smother out that smoldering wick, right? What God does is he meets us in our conflicts. He meets us. He supports us. He strengthens us. He encourages us. He takes his hands and he puts them under our heart, and he holds our hearts and he lifts our hearts. Those are the ways that I see him encouraging us and giving us strength in the face of some significant battles that you might be facing. In the end, Jesus turns that which was meant for evil into a triumph. We may not see it on this side of heaven. I got word yesterday that my friend's wife only has probably 3 months to live. Deep friend of mine. And I'm just like, God, we have been praying for her. I want to see victory. She's young. I want to see her healed completely. I want to see justice come into this woman's life and for you to restore her and bring her back to full health. I'm still holding out for that. But I know for my friend Dave, God will endeavor to turn everything for good. Everything. Including this situation that they find themselves in. So you and I, we may be victimized by evil, but we're not victims. I want to just make that clear. You and I may be victimized by evil. Like there may be like this blind side that hits us. Okay, we may have a chink in the armor and the enemy may take full advantage of that and we may be victimized. But that does not mean we are victims. And the difference is huge. Alright? It's all about attitude. It's also really about how you posture yourself and how you position yourself in the authority that God has given you. So I want to talk about that because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So we need to hear this. Some of our young ones, they need to hear this, and they need to hear this constantly. Some of us older heads, you know, are like graying up a little bit. We still need to hear this, right? We forget. We forget sometimes, and we lay down, and we shouldn't lay down. We shouldn't stick our head under the bank, all right? So the authority that God gave Adam was reclaimed. Where was it reclaimed? It was reclaimed on Golgotha. I mean, the hill of the skull, and Jesus allowing himself to be crucified was so that he could defeat every foe, including death, the great evil, right? And so, more accurately, I would say that the authority that God gave mankind was reclaimed by Jesus as he descended into hell and he took the keys back from the dominion of Satan. So this is really important for us to remember. There was a work that was done for us, and it was done through Jesus Christ. Alright, so we remember Jesus' words as he was being accused by the Pharisees in Matthew 12:25. It says, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, then he is divided and fighting against himself, and his kingdom will not survive. And he goes on to say, I'll just go ahead and read it, that if I am empowered by Satan, then what about your own, you know, folks who are casting out demons? But I'm casting out demons by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Let that phrase kind of rise up. Connect the dots. Whenever a work is being done where good is overcoming evil, when Jesus Christ and the power of His redemptive work is reclaiming something that evil once held and is bringing it back into its right place and its right order, you need to know that that is the work of the kingdom. Yeah. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is active. And it's advancing in that moment. It's like where there was darkness, light has just overtaken that darkness. There has been a reclamation of what had been stolen. It was reclaimed. Jesus actually entered the house of the strong man when he descended. And he began the work of plundering the kingdom of darkness. This is where you and I come in. We are actually invited to participate in this process of the restoration of all things. Do you believe that? Last week I talked about, let's do good works. Works that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that those who see your good deeds will glorify the Father. We talked about that in the context of us going to Wyoming, to the Indian Reservation, and just the good work that we were seeing being done there, and just the way that God was loving people, and the way that people were responding with soft hearts and receiving Him. That's a beautiful, good work. It's a beautiful, good work. And guess what? We were part of a kingdom work that was overtaking darkness. It gets lived out in very practical ways. I do believe it starts in the place of intercession and prayer. I do believe that it starts in the place of reminding yourself of who you are. I do believe that it, you know, starts in the place of establishing yourself in the Word of God and in the Scripture and just having full confidence and putting on that armor of God that He has given to you, which is a total gift from Him. And we receive it, you know, our salvation, our righteousness, you know, the feet shod, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts, the accusations, and all the things that the enemy is trying to throw at us. We actually apply that in real terms. And this is where we are with the process of being, you know, in partnership with Jesus. Where he would say to his disciples, the authority that I have been given, I now give to you. Okay? Can you hear that? The authority that I have been given, I now give to you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Now go. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. The 72 came back, and they were like, oh my gosh, even the demons are subject to your name, Jesus. You're not victims. You have been given something in the way of the authority of Jesus' name. And by that, I mean, that's your name, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've ever had a life exchange with Jesus, and you've said yes to him, and you say, Lord, I give you my life and I welcome your life. I need you. Come and take up your rightful place as being Lord of my life. If you've ever had that life exchange, then guess what? You've been given authority. Because the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you. If you've never made that exchange, if you've never had a yes, I mean a sincere yes in your heart, towards Jesus Christ, then today can be the day where that exchange happens. You no longer have to be buffeted to and fro. Like, you no longer have to be like a man tossed around in the waves. You no longer have to be stuck in any sort of mire. Jesus can establish you on the rock. And your life can be established on a place where when storms hit, you will not crumble. And the roots of your life can go deep into the soil of God's love. And this is why Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in the heavenlies. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in the heavenlies. Do you realize the authority that you have? Holy cow. I mean, can I say that? Come on now. Like, this is Jesus saying, I went to hell and I got those keys back. And I'm giving them to you. And now you get to partner with me in the restoration of all things on the planet. You get to do this. Listen, this is not simply a message about you protecting yourself in your little fortress. For the gates of hell will not prevail against you. The gates don't move, people. They're not marching gates. Right? We're going in those gates in the way of beautiful, lovely conversations like we had yesterday with the couple that was sitting right next to us. We went into a gate in the authority of Jesus, and we spoke the name of Jesus into their life. We have no idea how that's going to turn out. All I know is we brought some light into that situation. Their life. And we're friends now on Instagram, so I could bug them all I want. Have you ever taken a hike into the high country? If we say yes. If you say no, get out there this week. All right? There are trails that were once established. We're talking back in the day. Let's imagine 40 years ago when I started hiking. 14ers. Yeah, I'm old. I started young, but hey, I started walking these things before there were trail initiatives and before there were the 14ers clubs and all these kind of like established groups. And we just went willy-nilly on these trails and we just made trails. And there were trails that were established way before I ever started hiking. Right? So you can imagine that over the years and the decades, the rain and the runoff has created these scree fields, right? So the trails were established because people kept walking on the tundra, and the tundra disappeared, and now there's no vegetation to hold the gravel, the decomposed granite, and it just starts washing down, right? So you get these scree fields. You ever walked on a scree field? Scree fields are like these piles of gravel that are on the side of the mountain. And they just go all the way up, right? And so it's like you take two steps forward and slide one step back. And it's really frustrating going uphill. It's kind of fun actually going downhill. Yes, it is. Like I often say, safety third. So the Forest Service, what they do is they give companies, these restoration companies, a contract to actually go up there. And I have a friend who does this. And they establish a more sustainable trail system. They actually use switchbacks. And they fortify so that the tundra doesn't get destroyed and the scree fields don't. So the old paths then now have signs right next to them. It might be tempting because, you know, it's a shortcut. And the sign often says, closed for reclamation. Closed for reclamation. It might say restoration, but more often I've seen them say reclamation. Do you realize that you and I have been given a contract to establish a more sustainable way? We have this agreement with God. There's this covenant between us. And one of the tasks that we get to partner with Jesus in is establishing a more sustainable way. I guess the path of righteousness. And it can bring us to a victorious hope that will only come by walking the way of Jesus. Yeah, there's shortcuts. But there's a lot of destruction that happens there. And quite often, it's two steps forward and one step back, or worse. In fact, please pray for a friend of mine, Ken and Sally Ross. They have a dear friend who has been lost now for over 4 days. So there are ways where there might be what looks like a path, and I know exactly where he's at, and I know the exact mountain. It's coming off of Kit Carson towards Challenger, and if you don't make your way all the way across to Challenger and come down that scree field, you'll end up taking the sucker route that's going to take you to these cliffs, and I'm just praying that he didn't go that way. Because there's several people that have died there. So, that being said, this path is closed for reclamation. Something needs to be reclaimed here. And the enemy of your life and your family may have had access at will to enter in. They actually may have been given the keys, you know, if you're not careful. Reclaim those keys. Do not let the enemy have authority in your family and in your life. You have the power to establish a boundary and put the sign there that says, this path is closed. You're not allowed to come in here. There's reclamation happening in my house. You're established in the authority of the kingdom of God. And it's at the name of Jesus that you can banish anything that's not of God from the dominion that you have rightfully been given. And as a homeowner, as someone who has a lease on a property that you live in, guess what? Because of that legal document, you have legal right. And in the spiritual realm, you have dominion over that space. Walk the boundaries and banish anything that's not of God in that space. Again and again and again. Right? I'm just, encouraging us now to consecrate our homes, to consecrate our families, to consecrate our own lives unto Jesus Christ, and to assert our position in the kingdom of God as having authority. And again, it's not just so that we can find our protection, but so that we too can go into the lives of others and reclaim them for the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? That in this way we get to partner with Jesus to bring that victorious justice, to bring that hope to the world that does not have hope apart from the name of Jesus. So as a closing thought, I want to orient you towards a particular website that has a lot of prayers that have been printed out, or you can download them in a PDF, you can just read them on their site, you can get the app for your phone. It's Ransomed Heart. .com. Ransomed Heart. And there are prayers, like daily prayers, there's, you know, all these different, like, titled prayers that I'm going to encourage you to go to their resource and begin to use these resources. Again, we're not falling into a religious rote system. What we're doing is we're educating ourselves on the authority that we've been given. And these prayers are pretty spot on for us. And so Ransomed Heart, it's the ministry that has done The Wild at Heart. It's John Eldridge and his crew. Many of them are our friends. Some of you have been involved in some of their ministry and their work. Stacy Eldridge has something for the ladies called Captivating. She also has prayers in there for the ladies. Not that it's gender specific, I'm just saying that there are specific things that we might want to orient towards in the way of intercession, in the way of reclaiming our homes and our lives, all right, in the kingdom. And to banish those things that are not allowed. Okay? So that's a resource that I would point you to, Ransomed Heart. They also have the app that I told you about, and you can get that stuff downloaded right there on your phone. So now I'm pausing, I'm just waiting. I want to tell you about something that I saw during worship. I feel like the Lord wants me to say this. We were talking about how worship is an act of warfare. Like raising a hallelujah and praising the Lord. And, you know, He inhabits the praises of His people. And He connects with our hearts in that place. And you were talking about the imagination. And I love the sanctified imagination. You need to know that I believe fully that we have the mind of Christ. And that Christ can enter into the place of our imaginations. And it's powerful. It means something for us to allow ourselves not to conjure anything, but to accept the invitation to go into a place with Jesus in our sanctified imagination where He meets us, because it's all about Him. Well, He met me, and He met me in this beautiful green. It was actually during the kind of the reggae song, and He and I were dancing, and I was actually in a place, like coming into this morning, feeling pressure, like pressure. And so again, that question came up, like, Lord, Your word is either true or I'm not getting it. Like, what am I not getting? Because I'm not feeling the yoke is easy thing right now. I'm changing light bulbs, you know, 10 minutes before you guys show up because, you know, this place got zapped. And I'm just like, Lord, meet me in this place. I don't want to be anxious. I want to be anointed by Your Holy Spirit. And He brought me to this beautiful green patch up in the high mountains, and He just started dancing. And I just started dancing with Him. And then He just encouraged me, He said, go lay down right there. So I don't know if you saw it, I was laying right there. I laid down right there. You can't get into any more of a surrendered posture than laying down. But I was laying down just in the assurance that God has this. Any battle we fight, God is there with us. And sometimes the weapons of our warfare are things like worship, rest. The long list. It's contrary to the things of the world. You need to know that I'm not trying to promote like a more vicious prayer life in the sense of like, you know, frothing at the mouth and getting louder. Remember, it's not violence that wins. And it's the mercy of the Lord that He would meet us in the very place that we're being afflicted the most and invite us to rest. And that could be an act of warfare. He might invite us to say no to something that's noble. That might be an act of warfare on your part because you're always saying yes. You get what I'm saying? So allow the presence of Jesus to bring things that are contrary to the evil that's coming against you. Now, with that, I want to just ask you to stand. And I just want to just invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us. So many of our responses are self-protection. Because those bruised places in our life, in that wick that's bruised, it's tender, it hurts. We recoil. And the Lord is inviting you, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you've been the one who has believed this idea that Jesus is a co-conspirator with evil, this might be an opportunity for you to let that go. And He is so patient that He's not going to require you to run towards Him, but at least take a step. You know this slow, patient work of God, just like on the mountainside, it takes decades for the reclamation to happen sometimes. And so, Lord, we're trusting You with the process. We like it when You do things suddenly. We'll say yes to that. I do. I want that. I want that for my friend Sue. I want that for the family who lost a dad and a husband this week. I pray, God, that the search and rescue team would find him with a broken leg, but fully alive. So Jesus, meet each person here in their battle. Each one of us, God, we need you. And if we simply respond with the pattern of how we've responded for all these years, Lord, and it just continues to leave us exhausted and frustrated, then Lord, there has to be a change. You have established a way. Intercession for you as a fellowship and for us as a people is that we would walk in the way of Jesus and that we would find new victories. And where we have been victimized and have assumed the posture of victim, I just pray that your heart would be strengthened now. That shame would fall off of you like scales and that you would walk in a newness of life. And I pray that everything that Jesus intends for you would come to fruition. That you would experience the restoration of your own heart. That you would experience the restoration of your family. That you would experience the restoration of relationships that have been broken. That you would experience the restoration of provision. Whatever it is the enemy has stolen from you, I just declare now in the strong name of Jesus that the restoration of all things is coming to you. So Jesus, thank you for meeting us here this morning, for encouraging us with your word, for strengthening us. And I just ask now, Lord, seal all of this by your Holy Spirit. That whatever seeds have taken root, Lord, let them bear fruit in the days and the years to come. And I pray, Lord, that we would all experience the grace of your protection. Lead us not into evil. Deliver us from that, Lord. Don't lead us into places, Lord, where we would encounter that. Help us walk the way that sets us on a path of righteousness. So that when we encounter evil, Lord God, we're going to respond so differently. So this is where I get to ask you to respond. Just put your hand up if there's a physical affliction that you've been suffering from. We're just going to stay in this place of prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to just raise your hand, just as a sign to the Lord, really, and to your own heart, that you're in a place of need, and you're no longer going to settle with the idea that this is your lot, like this does not have to remain. So Lord Jesus, come now and minister your healing to anybody here who has brokenness in their physical body, who has disease in their physical body. Come and restore them. I pray that the healing virtue, your hand raised is like the woman pressing through the crowd to grab the hem of his garment. Jesus, come and let your healing virtue be released to them now in the strong name of Jesus. Others of you, when were thinking through this, you were thinking about the conflicts that are in your family or in some of your friendships, raise your hand if you're in the place where you need Jesus to bring restoration to your relationships. Jesus, you see the hands going up. And I want to ask you, Lord, now, would you release grace, wisdom, discernment? Release your love into every single one of us who are in a place where we're asking you, Lord, help us restore that relationship. Maybe you're lost in that process and you're not quite sure what to do next. Jesus, inspire us now, we pray. Give us the capacity to follow your nudge and to press in where needed or to wait. Lord, we want to be led by you in this. So I pray for every broken relationship that's represented here in this room to experience the restoration of Jesus Christ by his strong name. Thank you. And finally, I'm just compelled. I just want to ask. When I was talking about this life exchange with Jesus, thinking about your story and you were like, you know, I don't know if I've ever done that. Actually, I don't think I've ever sincerely given my life to Jesus. I don't know if I've sincerely opened up my entire life to his lordship. I just want to ask you to raise your hand. And just as a sign to him, you're saying, I am reaching out to you, Jesus, and I need you. I'm stuck. I am at the end of myself. Everything that I've tried has failed me. I bless you to receive the goodness of God now. I bless you to experience his salvation. I bless you to receive his Holy Spirit into your life. As you ask him to forgive you, as you tell him that you need him, and invite him to come in. Jesus, thank you for your kindness. Thank you that there is not a single one of us that you would discard. We receive you all now. We just receive you fresh. In your precious name. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.